Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Onward.
Onward.
In a theater. In a theater filled with germs.
Oh, yeah. Kid's coughing right into the back of my head.
This spell brings him back. For one whole day, Dad will be back.
What? Back? Like back to life? That's not possible.
It is with this.
I'm gonna meet Dad.
Legs.
It's funny you should mention that. I had a little kid behind me who was a delightful child, and then she sneezed on the back of my head, me and like the guy next to me, and then said to her mom, "I have to throw up," and was led out of the theater. So I might die.
Yeah,
I think.
You're fucked up with coronavirus
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I could. This might be it for me, folks.
Yeah, that's fine. We've had a good
yeah, run. No, it's true. Let's slip into darkness.
it's your time.
Yeah, Thomas, how did you like the Simpsons short?
It was fine. The Simpsons short was fine.
It was fine. It was. That's all. There's a Simpsons short before this, and it was I was a little depressed by the realization of why there was a Simpsons short, because it's Disney now.
Yeah, they had to slap their fucking mouse nuts all over the Simpsons to remind us. Like, they even stuck Mickey Mouse in the Theater of the Gracie Films logo at the end.
Yeah, they
because
really
they're like, we own it
in
now,
our faces.
It's ours.
I thought, I haven't watched Simpsons in a while, so maybe it's because of that. Maybe this is just like the show. I thought the short was a little I don't know, toothless compared to the Simpsons I knew.
There was some stuff with like the books the parents are reading in the park.
Yeah, that was cute.
Like your my kid is ugly.
Yeah, I guess that's almost what felt toothless, is that it was like the same sight gags that we've just always seen, but
yeah.
Just like, I don't know, a little more tired or a little more blunt. It was cute though, because I also get a feeling that The Simpsons, it's not really a kids movie type of thing. I didn't think.
Its inclusion was very strange.
Yeah, so my impression of it is that, oh, they had to water it down.
Mm-hmm.
Which really perfectly encapsulates what's a bummer about Disney owning everything, if that's actually the case.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any references to modern Simpsons. It was cute, though. It was a cute short.
Yeah.
It was little Maggie.
Getting a baby boyfriend.
Yeah, getting a baby boyfriend. I like the train bit at the end. It was kind of predictable, but it was cute.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, good short.
Yeah, good short. End of episode.
Yeah.
We've discussed it all.
And then there was a movie afterwards called Onward.
There was.
Tom, how did you like Onward?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's this weird... I looked up the director and writer. It's the director and writer of like Monsters University, and he hasn't really done anything big in the Pixar world, or in the Disney world. And this is one of those movies that feels like it has this like it's in this nether world between Pixar and Disney, you know, where it's not as emotionally weighted as a Pixar film. But I was going to say it's not as mindless as a Disney film, but even Disney films are doing that now, are trying to make you cry and shit like that. I think it's more in that it felt in some places a middle of the road kids movie, which is to say kind of a perfect kids movie for a lot of kids for that reason. Like, it's not trying to like hugely bum you out, but it is about an extremely heavy subject.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know. We talked about this with Detective Pikachu, which handles a similar subject very poorly.
Yeah, incredibly terribly, actually.
Yeah, and so one of the questions in my head, since I, you know, said a lot about that issue with Detective Pikachu, was how does this compare? Because it's about the same thing.
Yeah.
The main, and I would say a very important difference, is that they never promise, oh, your dad's back forever.
No.
It's just, oh, your dad's back for 24 hours,
And you never even
say goodbye.
Right, and then it winds up that the audience, and because the movie's told through the point of view of Ian, who's the younger brother, we never actually get to really see him or hear him speak.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, how that will resonate with kids who have lost a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm not one of those. But it seems like at least a healthier way. Like, it felt like the weird thing that about Detective Pikachu that really ticked me off is that the dead father and then your dad is back felt like they didn't put any thought into it. It was careless.
They absolutely didn't think about what message they were sending kids with that movie.
Yeah, it was some producer being like, yeah, you got to give him a happy ending. Let's make the dad alive again. And so kids will think, you know, oh, your dad died, but maybe he's in your pet, you know? It just felt very careless, whereas this was clearly written to tackle that subject head on. I was just going to say the moral is sort of around the fact that this main character never really had a relationship with his dad before his dad died, whereas his big brother has memories of him, and how that kind of affects both of them in different ways.
Yeah, and it's really about, I mean, the main point of the movie, and like, I guess for Ian's character, is that it's like, yes, your father is dead, and that's sad, and he's not coming, you know, he's not going to come back, and you never really got to know him, but you have this great family around you.
Yeah. It in the story, when he realizes his dad is can come back, and they have to find the gemstone, the phoenix stone, to complete the spell. He makes a list of things he wants to do with his dad. And they did a very good job at the end where he is slowly crossing things off the list because they're running out of time. Mm-hmm. So he's like prioritizing his list. And then when, you know, you're at the third act moment where all is lost and they don't think they can bring him back, he looks at the list to start crossing more things off and realizes that all of those things applied to his brother. All the things he wanted to do with his dad were things that his brother was doing for him.
Yeah.
And it's a very sweet moment.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's, they, you know, they sort of tease it from the beginning.
Yeah.
That like his brother is trying to fill part of that role in his life. Yeah.
And there's like definitely the brother is seen as a screw up, and you can kind of see where the arc's going to happen and the conflict with that, where, you know, he sees his brother as kind of a fuck up, and then he goes on a adventure with his brother, and it's like, okay, they're going to have to bond.
Yeah.
Throughout. And like, yeah, it's a good way of doing that. And then I think the most surprising thing the movie does for me was that when they finally are able to bring the dad back, it's the two brothers, and one of them has to go deal with a monster that the Phoenix Stone caused, a curse. And it's our protagonist who basically says, no, you stay and see dad. You're the one who has the memories of him. You're the ones who they set up that he never got to say goodbye to him. And he's just, and it's sort of him being like, I never knew him, you know?
Yeah.
You're more my dad. And then he goes off and, like, our main character, we stay with his perspective as he fights this monster, and then he gets trapped in, like, sort of a crater.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the big, like, payoff of the film from his vantage through rubble as he can sort of see the back of his dad.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool idea. It's a risky idea.
Yeah. Like I said at the top, we never, it's, you think it's going to be the big payoff of the film, and then we don't even see him. Like, we never hear his voice. We see his brother get to say goodbye to his dad from far away.
Right. It's not his moment.
No. Yeah.
It's someone else's moment. And that's, it feels like a very big risk for a mainstream film to do. If it wasn't like Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, who've had a lot of, you know, they can get away with more. If this was like a new script, if this was like some writer, like, that would be changed. That would be immediately changed, I think, because mm-hmm. it would be seen as too risky. It's like, no, you gotta have it. This character, the main character, is the one that has to have the arc with his dad. But it's the character kind of realizing, like, this isn't quite my arc. This is more your arc, and so mm-hmm. you have it, and I'll fuck off and fight a weird dragon monster.
Yeah, I'll fight a weird rock dragon with a smiling cartoon face.
Yeah, that was a good touch.
That was a solid gag.
Yeah, they do a good thing where they incorporate like D&D into it all, but mm-hmm. make it like historical. Because as promised in the trailer, it's a fantasy world. It's bright. It's bright. Max Landis is bright.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, done better. But also, I would argue, I mean, and I know this is a kids movie,
mm-hmm.
but I had some questions about that.
Sure.
The world, all right, it's a medieval, like, fantasy world that has evolved the way ours has. And the big difference is, of course, fantasy creatures are in the world. But mm-hmm. the other difference is everything is, like, medieval themed.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, it's like, what's the burger place? It's like, oh shit.
I forget it. Oh man. I can't remember. It was like burger.
It should have just been White Castle, but whatever.
It should have been. Yeah. I don't know what the hell you, like, it could have just been Burger King.
Yeah, it could have been. I know it's a playoff of that.
I don't know.
And then there is like his computer chair had like a throne shape, and like the blender the mom was using was like kind of medieval looking, but a blender.
Yeah. And all the modern buildings looked like castles.
Right. And I guess here's my question. That's not the part that would change, right? Like, England had castles and medieval stuff. Yeah. And London today doesn't look like that.
No.
It's the wrong thing.
And they all still live in big mushrooms.
Yeah. Why would, I guess the elf culture, I could see the mushroom thing,
mm-hmm.
but like the idea that we, like, since it was like fantasy medieval, then the medieval part would stay. And it's like, that's weird. We know it wouldn't.
Why does the centaur stepdad drive a normal car?
Yeah.
How the fuck's he getting in and out of that thing?
All right. I mean, my best guess for this, because I'm sure one of the animators thought that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the movie exactly once, but I wonder if the front seat on his side is like longer. So like, it's actually like, it's almost like there's no seat. So he's like standing or like sort of sitting in the car. And then his front, it's like if we lie down in a car and push the pedals with our hands.
How's he buckling himself in? Where's that seatbelt going?
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-mm.
They set that up. You know exactly how that's going to go. There's a weird subplot of like a return to magic.
Yeah.
Where like this, they show it first like, oh, check it out. Centaurs used to run at like 70 miles per hour. And he's like, well, I have a car now. And you know, when they say that, it's like, oh, there's going to be an arc where he runs.
Yeah.
And like the kid gets the wizard staff and introduces sort of magic back into the world. The idea is magic was long forgotten when we evolved.
Yeah.
And like, I know they probably didn't think too far into this, but like got real Jesus vibes off of that. got real, we need to get back into Days of Religion vibes from that message, where it's really? Like, where it's like, we're bringing my dead dad back, and I'm finding like comfort in his passing, you know, through magic. You got to teach magic in schools again. Here he is, yeah, in school telling people about magic.
Put magic back in the classroom.
Exactly. Like, obviously, it's different in the literal sense of this film. But like, when you try to, like, and not every film has this, but when you try to think of, like, what's the allegory there? You're like, oh, huh. I doubt that was the point.
No, I don't think Jesus ever made an airbrushed van fly, but we don't know that. That's true. I haven't read the Bible.
Yeah, neither have I.
I don't
so
know if that's in there.
It could be 75% airbrushed vans whipping around, for all I know.
Oh, man. What if the Bible rules?
Yeah.
And we're just not reading it.
Oh, what if it's... Oh, man. I don't know.
What if it's just the coolest shit?
They need to adapt that to a movie then, which I guess they probably have.
Yeah. It's like, oh, see, in this chapter, Jesus has a water park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a way to baptize everybody at once. Time traveling Jesus.
That's right. Jesus.
He gets in... What if it's exactly like The Matrix? Like, The Matrix isn't an allegory for Jesus.
Right, it's just an adaption of the Bible.
Yeah, and we just didn't realize it. Because, mm-hmm, unfortunately, no one can be told what the Bible is. You have to see it for yourself.
Exactly, and then Joe Pantoliano wishes he never read the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
And has to eat a pill.
Yeah. Does he eat a pill to go back?
I don't know.
He doesn't end up going back.
He gets killed.
Oh, right. He gets fucked up.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, poor Joey Pants.
Well, he committed a few murders.
Yeah, that's also true.
I can't say he didn't have it coming.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
this movie has a treasure hunt.
It does, yeah. It has a lot of fun D&D moments in it.
Yes, and they knew they needed to do that, it felt like. They knew they were going to... It's basically a D&D quest, but in this world. So they go see the manticore...
Yeah, I thought the subplot with the mom and the manticore was a little strange.
That was actually... I know what you're saying.
I mean, it felt weird in terms of pacing.
Yes, but it was... Yeah, I know what you're saying. I did like it, because logically, it made sense to me, because if the kids fucked off, like, the mom would go after.
And they wanted to show that the mom was... You know, the whole point of the movie is Ian realizing that, oh, I've been lamenting the fact that I never knew my dad, and I'm not paying attention to what I do have, which is this awesome mom and this brother who looks out for me.
Yes, and it's also she's there to kind of notice his arc. The idea is he's the meek one. He needs to come out of his shell, and this adventure gives him the confidence he needs because he's a wizard, and he has to... I thought this was a great way to invoke the arc, which is the idea of, in order to do the spells, you have to be literally confident in them.
Yeah.
In order for them to happen, and you have to have a commanding voice, and you have to take a literal leap of faith at one point.
Yeah, they do the Last Crusade bridge.
Yeah, they do. And that was a good bit. That was a really good bit, because the idea is the brother ties a rope to him, and then gives him the confidence to do the magic bridge across the bottomless pit that only works if he believes it, and then without him knowing, the rope unties halfway across. That was a good bit. I think the magic, it was used...
It was well implemented.
Yeah, it was well implemented for that character, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just fun, I don't know, doing the... It's weird that this... It's weird that the civilization didn't have an archaeology phase, apparently.
Yeah, because they just didn't give a shit about that.
Yeah, they're just knocking everything down on the ground level, but there's like Indiana Jones adventures like in the suburbs of this city, which is, I think, supposed to be like LA, I assume.
It really looked like it. Like, the suburb looked like outside of LA, and the city looked like LA.
Yeah. I assume there's no specific city it's supposed to be, but that's sure what it looked like.
It's New Mushroomton.
Oh, right. The idea is they go, like, there's a lot of unclaimed land in this world.
There really is.
Yeah, it's kind of strange for a world that's been updated so much, where there's planes and just all the technology we have now. They're able to, like, venture through these huge areas that are just untouched and full of, like, artifacts and ancient things and bridges, and then they go underground and there's, like, tunnels and rivers. Mm. And the gelatinous cube.
The gelatinous cube, that was a nice payoff.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And that was good. I liked the booby trap shit.
Yeah, it was solid.
I liked the idea that it brings them all that they go through this whole adventure and they end up accidentally looping back and they think they're, like, final booby trap, and they come out of the sewer outside their school, which again makes me think, like, okay, that's a sewer. So someone must have known that was down there, right? There's, like, city workers.
Right, there's a manhole cover.
Yeah.
Right above this trap dungeon.
Right, those aren't natural.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
That was a little strange, yeah. What the hell was I going to say? I had a thought related to all of this, and now it's gone. It's gone forever.
Hmm.
Damn it.
Need a magic wand.
That's what it was. I enjoyed that. I mean, it's nice. It's funny to, like, compliment a movie for, like, paying things off, because that should be just, like, a pretty basic thing, but, like, so many movies don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, well, they don't do it, and then they put out a bunch of articles and announcements explaining what you watched.
Every fucking day this week, StarWars.com has been like, oh, and here's, the Emperor was a clone, and Leia would hear Obi-Wan and Yoda's voices when she stopped her training. And here's what they were, Rey and Kylo Ren were thinking when they kissed. And it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so transparent that none of it was things they actually had in mind when they were writing the movie. They're just desperately trying to make it make sense afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. God damn it.
It's a real pile of shit.
Real
pile of shit of Bantha Putu.
Mm.
They pay off. He uses every single spell he's learned in the movie to beat the dragon.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I mean, that's basic writing, but it's like, oh.
Yeah, including, and then ending on the one that he hasn't mastered yet.
Yeah,
that
involves, one.
Like, it's the most advanced.
Yeah, he has to really, like, yeah.
Yeah, they set it up at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like the final page of the book where it's like, oh, no, you're not going to be able to do that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very good.
It was.
I like the whole D&D stuff was a very easy way to put us to explain everything, because D&D is not something that everybody likes, but it's popular enough now that they knew adults would love it. And also kids.
Mm-hmm.
Cool kids, at least. And then since it's based off historical stuff in this, they didn't have to change anything. And then they have the big brother, who's a D&D nerd, basically going through his book and his cards and being like, oh, no, this is what you need to do. Oh, and this. And it's all based off real stuff. So it all works. All the maps work and all the ancient shit works. And it's just, it makes the plot really accessible that way.
Yeah.
It's very smart. It's very smartly written.
Yeah, they don't need to waste a lot of time explaining things.
Yeah. Shit. Now it's my turn. I had a thing I was going to mention, but I don't remember anymore because I didn't sleep well.
Was it magic? Was it about Wings?
No.
The TV show
Wings?
Yeah, the TV show Wings.
I never saw Wings. Was it good? Did you see it?
I've seen some Wings.
What was it like?
It was pretty okay. It was like Cheers in an airport.
Hmm. So they were, like, drunk all the time?
Yeah, there's about two drunk pilots.
Yeah. Just getting into all sorts of scraps.
And a real depressed Tony Shalhoub.
Right. With the drunk pilot would, like, come in with the just holding, like, the pilot sticks, like the cockpit controls.
The pilot sticks.
Pilot sticks, and they'd be broken off. You'd be like, uh-oh, I done it again. And they were like, oh, Greg is his name in this version.
In this version of it, yeah.
Yeah.
In this, the revival series.
Yeah. This movie, I remember seeing this boasted, and I'm real sick of Disney pulling this shit. First LGBT character in a kids movie. That's a great thing, but they delivered it like the first LGBT character in a Marvel movie, which is...
Right, it's an one ancillary scene, character one mentioning line. Her girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, that's not...
That...
that I mean, it's a start.
It's a start.
It's a start, Disney, but like when they do these victory laps online...
Yeah, stop slapping yourself so hard on the back about this.
Yeah, that I think that's what bothers me more. It's like, that's cool. It's a side character, but that's cool. But then when they're you know, going on about themselves for it, being super proud, it's like, well, no. Like, give us a main character.
Yeah,
you
did the bare minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one line said by a character with no name, I don't think.
Yeah, it's one of the two cops. She was voiced by Lena Waithe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good bit. The scene is they get pulled over and they I remembered what I was going to talk about, but I'll wait. I'll circle back around. But they get pulled over and they use an imitation spell to look like the stepdad. And then the idea of the spell is, in order to look like this character, you only have to say the truth. And they use it as a very good bit to get the main character to have to admit that he thinks his brother is a screw up. So that was good. Did he use the imitation thing to fight the dragon thing at the end?
Oh, no, he doesn't use that one.
Yeah.
But he used all the other ones.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, why would he?
Mm-hmm.
This was going to say, one of my favorite characters in this is the dad legs are fucking fantastic.
The dad legs are pretty funny.
The way they animated it, you really felt the dadness of the legs.
Some like, solid dad legs, yeah.
The way he sat and like the pants, the shitty pants, with the khakis, the way he crossed his legs. Like those real, it really felt like middle-aged legs, like middle-aged, like the kind of legs you'd see, like sitting on a bench at Disney, waiting.
Absolutely. With those loafers.
Yeah. The loafers really did it.
Yeah. Really completes the ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah. And the legs have a solid, there's a lot of fun with the legs. It's a real Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Yeah.
I like that they put the legs on a dog leash.
Yep.
And they're like sort of like it. I feel like they're the journey of the legs is like you kind of understand exactly what the legs are thinking at any given time, which I like, which is that legs clearly know something went horribly wrong with its dumbass spell. I mean, the dad's a real dumbass to even have done this in the first place. Been like, you know, I know what my kids will like to bring me back from the dead for 24 hours. What if they did it and he just wouldn't stop screaming?
Yeah.
And just kept screaming.
Right. The shock of being brought back to life after two decades.
Yeah. And just screaming and saying, for the love of God, never die. Never die.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
The blackness beyond the veil of understanding.
It's only pain.
Yeah. Beyond the walls of sleep.
Yeah, like, that's a real risk. That's like dark magic. This is about dark magic.
Yeah.
Bringing him back like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that he knew he clearly screwed up and he's like just trying. He's just trying real hard. Because they do a thing which is not clear in the trailer, which is that he really is just legs in the sense that he clearly can't hear or see.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I don't know what's going on with his brain. I mean, again, it's probably just all darkness, right? Like he just can feel. That's
right,
pretty
like
much it.
His torso, his upper half is still in the realm of the dead.
Yeah. He's mostly genitals.
Yes.
Like most of him, when they, it didn't occur to me until watching it. I was just like, oh, they're going to be talking to his junk the whole movie. Yeah, I think that's
they're just talking at his dick.
Yeah, I think that's why they very quickly put the dummy on top of him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the writers knew, like, this will be a problem.
Yeah.
We need to put a little fucking a dummy torso on him so it's not all just shots of his ass. But he's like...
And his fucking elf package.
Yeah. And they're kind of happy he's there, but he slowly becomes like a burden. And they just sort of treat him like a dad over time. And they're just become more and more nonchalant with the fact that they have to just sort of lead around this disembodied legs.
Disembodied legs.
Yeah, they become like irritated with it. They're just like tugging him on the leash. I liked that bit. I like that he's like got the full dad gamut of spending the day with his sons to the point where they're just like, ugh, come on, dad.
Yeah.
Come on, you fucking legs.
Except they don't have the experience of him speaking too loudly at a restaurant about other patrons.
That's true. They don't get him like getting real close to saying something racist and then like swerving away, and you're like, oh, thank Christ.
Yeah.
I did not know where that was going to go for a second.
Man, that could have gone so wrong.
Yeah. They don't look down because he's got this like void.
Yeah, I'd stick my hand in there.
Yeah. I'd stick something in there, like throw a brick in there, see what happens to it.
Yeah, see what happens. Maybe it comes out his ass. That'd be cool. Yeah.
You could carry stuff in it.
Magic.
Yeah. You really have to not think about the legs.
Yeah.
Not too much.
I did. Yeah, you're right. I did become a little uncomfortable with the legs until they put the dummy on top of it.
Yeah, I think they knew. They knew everybody would be uncomfortable. When I saw those legs, I was like, God. They also make a very smart decision of never making the legs meet the mom.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think maybe from a distance, because that's a weird reunion.
Yeah.
Because either the mom is, like, horrified, or she's like, oh, you brought back the parts that matter, so this is fine. We're going to need some time, kids. We're going to go into this, like, Arby's bathroom real quick with these legs.
Just banging a pair of legs.
Yeah, fuck it. I feel like there could have been...
I'm fucking my dead husband's legs!
I mean, this also... Boy, I don't want to get into this territory. Because this also brings up some questions with her current boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. How do they fuck?
I think we know. I think we know. And I think no one wants to think about it. This is a weird universe.
It's a bizarre universe, yeah.
It's a very dark universe with some very dark magic. I don't know, man. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all fine.
These people are weirdos. I like the little pixies. Little biker pixies. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just flying like around 30
of them driving
people.
Each motorcycle.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a little exhausted when they introduced them because it felt like... We don't need villains, and they aren't really villains. They just like show up for one scene.
Yeah, they're not really villains, but they do try to murder our main characters.
Yeah, it's a good bit with that because they do. You see in the trailer, he tries to make the gas tank bigger, and he shrinks his brother, and then his brother has to stay shrunk for a while. So it makes it so that all he can do is tell his brother what to do. And the brother, one of the arcs is that he's learning to drive, so you know that's going to play into it, and it does. I really liked his advice on the on-ramp where it's merging into traffic and he says like, I'm not ready.
Yeah,
what does he say? And he says like, no one's ever ready.
Yeah, nobody's ever ready,
which is extremely true.
Yeah,
living in Los Angeles, like, it's I've never felt confident getting on the highway in my entire life. Not once.
Nope.
It never gets easier.
That's just like, that's also, you know, that's life in general, and that's like part of the...
Oh yeah, that's part of the
character's arc and part of the advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. The voice actors did good. This was it Tom Holland and Chris Pratt?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That checks out.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus was the mom.
Oh, right.
Octavia Spencer was the Manticore.
Right. Yeah, it was... You know, it wasn't the mom that was the weird pacing. It was the Manticore joining the mom.
Yeah, that's what made it weird.
But what I loved the mom's arc, which is that she gets into more trouble with than, like, they're just breaking the laws together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're, like, shooting cops, doing hard drugs. No, but they do paralyze a...
The pawn shop owner. Yeah. That was Tracy Ullman.
It was.
Yep.
Of course it was. Yeah, they rob a pawn shop. That's what that is.
They pay her.
Mm, but she changed the price. So that's, in court, that's robbery. In the eyes of the law, because they go in and they need the sword, and then the Manticore, the pawn shop owner's like, 10 bucks. And then the Manticore talks about how precious the sword is, and she's like, oh, you know what, 10,000 bucks. So they assault her and steal the sword. Right.
She just stings her with her scorpion tail. Yeah.
They rob a pawn shop. They rob a pawn shop
in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. There's no getting around that.
Those biker pixies are going to bust in there and take her register while she's paralyzed on the ground.
Right. But I did like that the mom has an arc that we don't even know we really need. Which is just to become a badass and then make a friend. Because then at the end, she's like, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with the Manticore some more. Yeah, and she's got a battle axe.
She's got a fucking axe.
Yeah. It's like, are you guys going to go murder people?
I think they're going on adventures, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, there probably will be some killing involved.
Yeah. And I guess that taps into the idea of bringing back the old ways, the ways of old adventures, which is... just kind of murder, right? Like objectively speaking, the society before after the quests and stuff, the society at the beginning of the movie, that is an evolved society.
Mm-hmm.
Like the message is to go back to a time where people are leaving their houses with battle axes, presumably to kill other people with them.
Yeah, and take their wealth.
Take mm-hmm. their coins.
Mm-hmm. And then those coins become your coins.
Yep, and then you gain XP.
That's right, and you can buy things.
Yeah.
Some sweet new armor.
Yeah, I guess this is also playing into how I personally play D&D.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm putting more nefarious goals on these characters.
No, you would be a spree killer in this universe.
Yeah.
Like, you would be killed by 25 police officers in a shootout.
Yeah, but what a shootout, you know?
That would be pretty great.
But she is leaving the house with an axe. Like, was she gonna go chop down a tree with that? Like, no. She's gonna cut somebody's head off. And
she might chop down a tree, but it'll be like Treebeard and he'll be screaming the whole time.
Right. And they've established this universe where everybody's a citizen. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure there's criminals and shit, but like right. but, there's so, no like ancient evil species.
Maybe
there's
not.
It doesn't seem like that.
It would be kind of, yeah, because any goblins they find would right, all just be like citizens.
Exactly. They just, like, are they going out to kill goblins at their job?
Maybe. Like, I'm going to go back to that pawn shop and finish that lady off.
Finish the job. Yeah, they make her like a weird lizard.
Yeah.
But, like, she's just making a living. She's just owning a pawn shop. Like, yeah, it's kind of shitty to raise the price. Like, 100%, that's shitty. But it's also shitty to rob a pawn shop. And her boyfriend's a cop, so you know he's, like, pulling some strings, you know?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know, it seems maybe very the, corrupt maybe, now that
maybe
I'm thinking
the Manticore
about it.
Went back there and was like, if you tell anybody about this, I'll kill you.
I'll fucking kill you.
I'll fucking kill you and eat you and shit you into the magic ocean.
Yeah, probably.
That ocean's magic now because he drops his staff in there.
Oh, yeah. He never gets that staff back.
Well, he makes a new one.
Yeah, but it's like right there in the ocean. I know that's hard, but like it's a magic staff.
Yeah, I'd buy some scuba gear to go look for that thing.
Yeah.
It's like worth it.
There's no other magic in this universe. And he can make all the fucking staffs he wants now if he just takes splinters and turns them into staffs. And that's what happens in this.
Yeah.
That was a good bit. Because you're not sure if it's a joke or not. Like, when they keep getting splinters from the staff. But, like, the second time it happened, I was like, oh, I bet that's going to be a thing. And it was where they lose the staff and then he uses the splinter itself to make a bigger staff. But, yeah, you got yourself a staff business there, my friend.
Sure. It's self-replicating.
Mm-hmm. He can solve the world hunger, too, with that staff now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of things that can be done with that staff.
Sure.
It's kind of weird, like, that people were once like, yeah, fuck that staff. I invented electricity.
Right.
This staff is important.
Yeah, like, I can turn invisible and fly and bring people back from the dead with this thing. Can the light switch do that?
Exactly. Like, yeah, there's some conveniences there, but, like, I'll stop your fucking heart with this staff.
Yeah, I can shoot lightning with this fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the arc with the car.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
With a shit van he sends into the rock.
Real shitty van. Yeah.
There's a lot of good parts. Like, this is definitely, like, a very likable film. And I'm still, like, not sure about the dead parent message. It's just it feels way more responsible.
Oh, I think it's a healthy message.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's...
Oh, yeah. I think it's... Yeah, it's definitely a healthy message.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, like, what age is this a healthy message for?
I think you'd have to be, like, 8.
Sure.
8 and or I don't 9, think there's a rule. There.
I think every kid is different.
Right, so every kid, like, is different, but I...
It's not my job to police this. It's just, like, thinking about it was, like... You know, like, it's one of those things. I'm more hyper aware of... it now of, like, how often kids movies just slaughter parents.
They sure do.
Yeah. And what they say about it. And, like, this has been happening forever, so I'm sure they figured it out. This is a very weird one.
I don't know. I didn't think this was that weird.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's not, because I feel like they handle it responsibly.
They certainly don't fucking bring him back.
Yeah, it's like, a weird version of it. I mean, it's a hell of a swing to be like, you brought back your dad's legs.
Yeah,
and this is a movie about it. I hope this doesn't give you nightmares. We've never done this before in a kids' movie, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a strange one. That's true.
Yeah, like the premise, the concept, strange. The message is it's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they put care into it. It's just one of those things, I imagine, when you're writing something like this, you're like, better not fuck this one up.
Yeah.
Better not accidentally terrify people.
I'm going to ruin a lot of kids with this movie.
Yeah. I'm going to be a regular Don Bluth. Oh, Don Bluth was like, I'm going to ruin a lot of kids with this movie.
Rubbing his hands together like Vincent Price.
Yeah. What an evil man.
He's just animating his movies in a haunted castle.
Probably.
Yeah, where else would Don Bluth work?
Yeah. That's why after Titan A.E. he was like, I can't do CGI in this haunted castle. Our outlets, we barely have outlets in here.
Yeah.
Like, I can't keep up. I'm going to have to shut down the haunted castle.
I've got one outlet, and that's where I plug in the scream machine.
Yeah.
How can I animate without listening to the screams?
Oh man. America's greatest monster.
I know, he's apparently making a Dragon Slayer movie, which I'm very excited about.
Oh no. Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm excited too, because I'm not a kid.
Oh yeah, no, that movie's gonna fuck kids up.
Yeah.
That game is dark as shit.
Yeah. Good on him. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be pretty great.
Yeah.
He's old as fuck though. He better hurry up and finish that movie.
He should do something with John Carpenter. And I don't mean a movie. I just think they should hang out.
Oh, they would be the best of friends.
Yeah. Just going out to restaurants, talking too loud. Just not hearing each other.
Yep. Talking too loud about the people in the booth next to them.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Two old bastards shuffling around, talking about how they used to scare the shit out of everyone.
You imagine if John Carpenter made a cartoon?
Oof. Ooh. I mean, he should. He should make a kid's cartoon. Fuck it.
Yeah. Who gives a shit?
I imagine it would just be a Don Bluth movie.
Yeah.
I think John Bluth is the John Carpenter of kids movies.
Yep. I do not disagree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, those were my thoughts on Onward.
Yeah, that's about all. That's about all I had. I enjoyed it. It felt
perfectly fine.
Yeah, it felt a little janky with, like I said, with the mom and the manticore stuff. But
yeah, kids will like it. The kids in my theater were going nuts. Oh man, the kids. God, there's the one little shit who sneezed on me at one point, and this was glorious. One of the kids, like near the front, started babbling like a kid would do.
Yeah.
During like the emotional scene at the end, this kid was like, and like no one wants to tell a kid to shut up. And then another child from up in the top just yelled, "Be quiet!" And it was like, "Oh, thank you, you did our work for us."
Give that kid a badge.
Yeah, no one else could say it. The kid knew, like, oh no, am I the only fucking adult in this room? All right, right. I guess I'll tell this little shit to be quiet.
The kid's up there like, is nobody else gonna say anything? Because I'm gonna fucking say something.
Kid's reuniting with his dad up there. This kid's gotta shut the fuck up.
Show some goddamn respect.
Yeah. It was excellent.
Kid justice up there.
Yeah.
That's what the badge will say when we pin it on him.
Kid Justice.
Kid Justice.
It sounds like a name. It sounds like a terrible character name. Just like the worst movie.
That sounds like the worst goddamn movie.
Yeah. Really does.
Anybody see that piece of shit, Kid Justice?
Kid Justice.
It's got a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, if you want, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Mm. You can check out exclusive podcasts on there like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
This is all true.
Yeah, give it a gander.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. You can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers, and all that kind of stuff. And go ahead and leave us a review.
Yeah,
you're listening
on the
to this, friend.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, it helps us out.
It helps us out. Fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry about the whole fucking a horse part.
Nah, I'm not sorry. Why would you ever apologize for that?
Yeah, you're right. I'm not sorry.
Mm-mm, he's not sorry.